Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Mark joining us tonight, but I guess there was some kind of technical issues over at wherever the hell it is that he is. He doesn't like to say where it is that he's where he's staying these days. So we're connected to where he should show up. So he may pop in at some point. But with you tonight, it is Ian
and Bonnie.
So there's some pretty big, I guess, like almost bombshell level news coming out regarding COVID over this weekend. Not that it will surprise anyone.
I was going to say that bombshell, but something that everyone already knew.
Something that everyone that was skeptical towards the government's official story certainly already believed, and that is that even the government now is saying that it looks like COVID came from a lab. Now, they're not saying which lab. They're not saying it was their lab in Wuhan, but apparently they are saying that it probably came from a lab. We can talk about that coming up here, but Reason.com has a really interesting story that the Supreme Court is now saying that, and I guess they've been saying it, but they're saying it again, that domestic spying is too secret to be challenged in court.
What? Their own spying on us?
Correct. Yep. That's right. That's what they're saying here. Abusive government. This is from J.D. Tusile at Reason. Abusive government behavior has again been found too sensitive to national security to face legal challenges in the court system. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to review a lower court's dismissal of the Wikimedia Foundation's lawsuit against the NSA surveillance program revealed a decade ago by Edward Snowden. With the state secrets privilege barring litigation, that leaves upcoming congressional debates over renewal of the law authorizing the program as the only recourse for civil liberties advocates. So the Wikimedia announced on February 21st, quote, the U.S. Supreme Court denied the Wikimedia Foundation's petition for review of its legal challenge to the NSA's upstream surveillance program.
Sorry, it doesn't matter if it's legal what we're doing because we can't have you finding out what we're doing.
Correct. We can't even allow a court hearing to talk about what is going on, to challenge in any way what these people are doing. Under this program, they say, the NSA systematically searches the content of internet traffic entering and leaving the United States, including Americans' private emails, messages, and web communications. Supreme Court's denial leaves in place a divided ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which dismissed Wikimedia's case based on the government's assertion of the so-called state secrets privilege. So this is once again the federal government telling you that there is no accountability, that they can do whatever they want to do, and that you have absolutely no recourse through the courts. Because normally they say, oh, well, you can just tell it to the judge. You know, take your complaints
yeah, take it to
the
court.
Judge. You know, you can't do that with this particular issue.
You don't like what they're doing? Just take it to court.
And anything else that would be labeled state secrets. So, I mean, that could... certainly that's anything related to the CIA.
Sounds a lot like police, what is it, police not investigations. Police activities are going on over here.
And so, you know, this is, I guess people probably shouldn't be surprised about this if they've been paying attention to how the federal government behaves. But there's probably some people in our audience out there that thought that the court system was some sort of way that they were able to get, you know, justice, to hold government bureaucracies accountable for breaking their own rules.
It's called the justice system.
That's what they say. But it's also the just us system, according to some. And so, you know, this is frustrating, I think, for people out there. And I think it should be another point that people need to consider when they start thinking about secession, because you're not going to get Congress to do anything about this, okay? It's been a decade now since Edward Snowden revealed, it was 2013, the summer of 2013, that's when Edward Snowden revealed the NSA spying, which of course a lot of us knew was going on anyway, but he made it official. We knew for a fact he had the receipts, you know, he had the documents, he had the evidence of it. And it's a decade later. So the idea that all of a sudden Congress is going to step in and stop the NSA from doing what it is that they've been doing for however many, you know, decade plus long years that it's been going on is absolutely absurd. Congress is not going to hold the NSA accountable. Congress authorized the NSA. Congress created, you know, the Department of Defense. They created Homeland Security. The idea, you know, that any of these so-called small government Republican types are going to go in there and actually remove the FBI or remove the NSA is pure fantasy.
I haven't seen any bills to remove the NSA anyway.
Well, I mean, not that we are paying attention to the federal government's bills. I'm sure there's hundreds of those. So, but no, I mean, you would think that we would hear about that. You would think that if some representative were to actually propose that, they would be excoriated in the mainstream media. Well, we know the NSA is doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, but we can't get rid of them.
We need them for safety.
Right, yeah, we got to keep the United States safe from all the terrorists.
It doesn't matter how many times a murderer murders somebody and then it's found out that the FBI and NSA and everybody was watching them for months and months and knew this and this and this and they had this tip and the person still went and killed somebody. It doesn't matter how many times that happens. People will still just be like, oh, we need...
Oh, they need more funding. They need more funding, Bonnie. See, they can only really watch people appropriately if they get to double their budgets. Then they'll be able to keep you safe. And there's no one who's going to take it seriously within Congress, the idea of abolishing these agencies. And who could possibly believe that an agency that is protected by so-called state secrets privilege, which protects them from apparently even being held accountable in the court system... Why would anyone believe that Congress could go in and tell them what to do? Why would they listen to them? What would be their obligation? How would the congressional...
I see what you're saying. They would just say, sorry, Congress, we can't listen to you because, well, state secret privilege.
Well, I mean, they would say, sure, yeah, we'll shut that program down. But how do you know they actually did?
It's like MKUltra.
How are the Congress people and their staff... supposed to know if the NSA, which is a secretive organization, is doing a thing that they say they aren't doing or not? Like, how can you prove that? We know that the CIA has, you know, supposedly black budgets, money that they're earning from doing things like selling drugs or whatever. You know, that's money that's coming in from outside of taxpayer sources, outside of Congress. And that stuff isn't trackable. That's completely under the radar. So without closing the agency down completely, then you can't be guaranteed that they're going to do what you tell them to do. So the whole idea that Congress having a quote-unquote debate over renewing the law in this particular case that authorizes this domestic surveillance program where they're intercepting Americans' emails, messages, web communications, and searching it for suspicious content... The odds that they're going to repeal that are very slim, number one. But even if they do repeal it, the odds that the program will actually be removed by the NSA, who have proven to be dishonest during the whole Snowden thing, where Snowden would say, Snowden came out with the first bit of information because he had a lot to reveal. He didn't reveal it all up front. He revealed certain parts. The NSA would then deny that they were doing that, or, you know, they would not admit fully what was going on, or they'd try to cover it up, and then he would release another piece.
The proof that last response was a lie?
Exactly.
Wow.
And he just kept on going through. So every time the NSA responded, they were lying and they were covering up, and he kept on proving that these people cannot be trusted and that they are constantly lying.
Wow.
So no one should be surprised about that.
It just... goes to the same situation where when we say the federal government is too unaccountable and, you know, bad, we need to leave them. And people say, oh, no, we just need to get the right people in office to shrink the government. It's just never going to happen because that would be asking people to go against their own interests. And that's silly if you understand anything about just basic human nature and economics. The way it really works is just people aren't going to work against their own interests just for you.
Yeah, and this is the interest of the security state. I mean, you want to talk about an entrenched group of bureaucrats, people who have near to zero chance of ever having their agencies repealed. I mean, the fact is, any Republican talking about abolishing the FBI is just full of it. They're just saying that so you will vote for them, thinking they're going to do something about the FBI.
And only now, while, you know, Republicans maybe still are mad at the FBI for going and raiding Trump's house.
Yes,
They're not going to be even saying that they're going to abolish the FBI in like 10 years when the Republicans forget about that.
Yeah, well, as soon as they get back in control, then all of a sudden they'll change out the FBI director, whoever it is. I don't know who it is right now. But they'll switch him out to one of their guys, and they'll say, problem solved. Our new guy, he's going to come in there, and he's going to clean house. We've got one of our Republican FBI guys. He's now in charge of the agency, and he's going to get rid of all those Biden bad FBI agents, Biden-loving agents, and they're going to clean it up, and then they're going to go after the Democrats.
Because it's just the Democrats.
And that's not going to solve the problem. That's not going to lessen the tyranny. And these Republicans don't really want to get rid of the police because they love the police. It's just a show. They want people to believe that they're going to do something to change D.C. when all the evidence suggests that they're part of making D.C. worse.
It's obviously what Trump was doing. Trump ran on draining the swamp, and he got in there and put a bunch of, you know, disgusting people in
swamp
his cabinet.
Monsters.
Yeah, and then didn't change anything. Didn't shrink the size of government at all.
And by the way, the Republicans were in charge during the first couple of years of Trump until the midterms. So they could have, you know, they could have repealed the IRS code. They could have gone in there and gotten rid of these government bureaucracies. But they didn't. They were the ones who, along with the Democrats, passed the Patriot Act in 2001 to create the Department of Homeland Security, to create the TSA, and to aggregate more power to these agencies.
I mean, when Trump was in power, they could have even done, like, the little simple things that lots of Americans want, like, you know, term limits and make them read the bills.
Wouldn't that require a constitutional amendment?
I don't know.
Term limits?
Does that mean that they couldn't have done it under Trump?
Probably not. You would need to have, I think, 3/4 of Congress vote for, if I recall correctly, a constitutional amendment.
But if they had the majority, wouldn't that have basically happened?
No, you wouldn't have had 3/4.
Well, whatever, I'm not...
Or 2/3.
I don't know exactly how things get passed, but I'm just saying they could have done little things like that all Republicans are always begging for.
Sure, they could have.
They think will really change things. I don't think they'd really change things. Term limits, anything like that.
Alex
Abdo. I think we need to leave the federal government.
Yeah, can't happen soon enough. We talked about a lot about that on Saturday night. But if you want to comment on it tonight, you're welcome to join us here at 603-283-6160. You basically cannot hold these secretive state agencies, these U.S. government agencies, to account, is what the Supreme Court is saying in this case. Alex Abdo of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, who worked with Wikimedia and the ACLU, said that the decision is a blow to the rule of law. The government has now succeeded in insulating from public judicial review one of the most sweeping surveillance programs ever enacted. If the courts are unwilling to hear Wikimedia's challenge, then Congress must step in to protect Americans' privacy by reining in the NSA's mass surveillance of the Internet. 10 years later, if they gave a damn about this issue, then they would have stepped in 2014 or 2015. Or sometime shortly after Edward Snowden revealed that information. But they didn't. And why is that? Well, maybe it's because, I mean, if there's anyone in Congress that actually has, let's say, the political will to put forward some sort of bill like that, it's got to be kind of scary to go up against the NSA. You know, like,
they can just, you know, plant something in your emails or
something. They could plant something, or they might already have something on you. They might already
know about you. Yeah, if you're a congressman. probably.
You know, maybe they have a dossier on all of the Congress people. Maybe they've already gone through congressional personal email accounts and dug up information about, oh, I don't know, mistresses, underage teenage girls, or, you know, whatever other sexual proclivities that these people have. Visits to Epstein's Island. You know, who knows what kind of information they have. But if you believe that the whole Epstein thing was the tip of the iceberg on how really ugly things can get behind the scenes with these Congress people and these federal goons, then you might believe that the NSA was part and parcel of that information collecting on those people. I don't know, just a speculation. I mean, it seems like it'd be pretty scary to go up against the NSA. I mean, we've seen what the federal government has done to this show with attacking some of the hosts of Free Talk Live and raiding our studios, ostensibly because we said things that they don't like. Well, imagine if somebody in Congress did something that they don't like.
And imagine if we actually had disgusting things to hide.
Indeed. If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. According to the case here, the story at Reason.com, the upstream surveillance program at issue collects communications to, from, or about a foreign target designated under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, according to the NSA. In the clearer language of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, quote, upstream surveillance involves collecting communications as they travel over the Internet backbone. And downstream surveillance, formerly known as PRISM, involves collection of communications from companies like Google, Facebook, and Yahoo. As Edward Snowden revealed and the NSA conceded, this broad surveillance may be authorized against foreign targets, but frequently scoops up Americans, often deliberately. Quote, the government is increasingly using these broad and intrusive spying powers in run-of-the-mill criminal investigations against Americans, circumventing their Fourth Amendment rights.
I was about to say, you know why he specifically says broad? It's because we have the Fourth Amendment right to not be subject to broad searches and seizures.
That's right. Warrants have to be specific, at least supposedly, in what they're looking for.
You have to be actually suspected of a crime to get a warrant against you, instead of just, oh, you're driving down the street this time? Well, a murder happened 5 hours later, so we got your license plate, and now we're going to show up at your door, or whatever.
Wikimedia argues the NSA surveillance discourages people from using Wikimedia's Wikipedia to research sensitive topics for fear of attracting government attention. The organization points to a 2016 article in the Berkeley Technology Law Journal that reported, quote, a statistically significant immediate decline in traffic for privacy-sensitive Wikipedia articles after June of 2013, but also a change in the overall secular trend in view count traffic, suggesting not only immediate, but also long-term chilling effects resulting from the NSA PRISM online surveillance revelation. So my understanding of what that says here is that there were certain, whatever privacy-sensitive Wikipedia articles means, I'm not sure what they're talking about. Are those articles about privacy technologies or something? But it sounds like they're saying people stopped looking for that information, that people were afraid to go and search for those articles, to go and look at those articles, because they didn't want to be seen on some sort of list as someone who was looking for that. And again, without knowing exactly which articles they're referring to, it's kind of hard to speculate further.
Maybe they didn't want to get on a list by putting it in their article.
Possibly. In court, federal attorneys insisted the NSA surveillance programs are such secret squirrel stuff that national security
secret
would suffer.
Squirrel?
Yeah, it's a cartoon character reference. There was one, I forget which, I don't know if it was.
I think it's like a Hanna-Barbera thing, if I'm. I just wasn't sure if that's
what it was. It's like a spy squirrel, I think was the character. But
never
I think his name
it.
Was Secret Squirrel. That national security would suffer if the nation's snoops were compelled to explain how their activities can possibly square with constitutional protections for individual rights. And the court bought it. Reuters reported in 2021 that, quote, in a divided ruling on Wednesday, a Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said that the lawsuit must be dismissed after the government invoked the state secrets privilege, which meant that a full exploration of the issue in a court would damage national security. The decision was left to stand last week by the Supreme Court. And as pointed out here, according...
Like, people are just going to die if we find out what NSA is doing. No, people won't die. You just might get, you know, people seeing what you're doing. I was going to say lose your job, but probably not.
No. Yeah, federal government bureaucrats not likely to lose their jobs because they were just doing what they were told to do, right? Somebody made this decision. Somebody high up implemented this program. I don't know if it was Congress or the NSA just did it on their own volition, because a lot of these bureaucracies have the ability to just kind of, you know, write their own regulations and such.
It was a Hanna-Barbera squirrel
yeah.
From 1965.
As he says, I pointed out before, state secrets privilege has a sketchy history, evolving from bad official behavior after a 1948 plane crash that's killed several civilian observers.
Oh.
While the observers' widows sued in United States versus Reynolds, the government argued that information about the plane was too secret to be revealed in court, which turned out to be a complete lie,
wow.
Concealing official negligence.
I mean, that's so obvious that they can use... It's too secret to go to court anytime they want to hide something. I mean, that's so obvious.
Absolutely. And the more they get away with it, the more they're going to get away with it. They can, because then they can just point to all the cases where, well, this is state secrets. See, you guys backed us up here, and we're going to say it's state secrets now, so you can't overturn.
And it's like when people like David from New Mexico call in and say, listen, the Constitution is great, and it's all we need. All we need is to get back to the Constitution. It's like, when was state secret privilege ever put into the Constitution, and when did the Congress vote on letting the federal government have the power of state secret privilege? Like, everything that's not enumerated goes to the states. And I mean, I don't want the states to have secret powers,
right.
Privilege either, but it's just like, I never gave that to the federal government. They get state secret privileges, and I don't know anybody who would vote for that.
Yeah. At least as far as the state government is concerned, the New Hampshire government has, I believe it's Article 8 of the New Hampshire Constitution's Bill of Rights, specifies that the New Hampshire government should be open and accountable.
Yeah.
So that sort of contradicts the whole idea of having state secrets. I don't know if the U.S. Constitution has anything similar in it, but obviously it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You, at this point, you cannot challenge things that are labeled as state secrets, so you're going to likely see more and more and more being labeled as state secrets. Oh, well, we can't talk about this program or that program because national security could be harmed. And national security, this is basically they are saying, quote-unquote, national security, which is whatever they say it is, whatever they want it to be, is more important than the Constitution. It's more important than your right to know what's going on with the government that you are forced to pay for.
It's only possible after convincing people that, oh, you're too stupid to blank, therefore you need a government. Because it's basically saying, like, oh, if you knew this, you just need to not worry a little head about this. Because if people found out about this, people are going to die in the United States. And it's just, you don't need to worry about it. And I don't like that attitude.
There's more coming up. You can join the show, 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. America's top diplomat wants China to be more truthful about the origins of COVID-19. Nicholas Burns made the comments while speaking at a U.S. Chamber of Commerce event today. Burns said China will have to be more honest about what happened in Wuhan if the two countries are going to be able to work together. The jury in the South Carolina double murder trial of attorney Alex Murdoch will visit the crime scene. Over objections from the prosecution, the judge ruled the jury will visit the Murdoch estate where Alex's wife and son were killed.
The court will allow a jury view.
The visit could happen tomorrow, with closing arguments taking place Wednesday. If you live in Seattle, chances are you're sad. A new survey from the U.S. Census Bureau found that Seattle ranks as the nation's saddest large metro area, Seattle having the highest number of people who said they were feeling depressed and hopeless. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And you can join the show. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Bonnie in the studio here tonight. We're talking about the latest blow against any kind of accountability or any hope for holding the federal government's secretive policing agencies like the NSA accountable for what it is that they've been doing. And we know they've been doing it for a very long time because Edward Snowden revealed a lot of their skullduggery back in 2013. It's now been a decade, just about, since that happened. And there's still been no way to hold these people accountable. The U.S. Supreme Court, according to Reason.com, recently rejected hearing a case that was decided by the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the Fourth Circuit Court, that essentially said that the NSA cannot be challenged. Its online or its domestic surveillance programs cannot be challenged because of the state secrets privilege. So we don't get to find out what's going on. I mean, we know what Snowden said back in 2013. We don't get to find out anything else what's going on because that was a leak, right? You don't get to have the court look into the activities of the NSA in any way, shape, or form. They're not going to touch it.
How many Americans died because Snowden leaked what he leaked?
I don't care.
I don't think any did.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has ever been able to point that out. But honestly, it does not matter to me because the truth of what's going on is more important than the people that are working for the federal government in their lives. If you guys are all about your constitution, supposedly, they all swore an oath to it. Ostensibly, if you're a police agent, you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. That means you're supposed to put that first and foremost. But we all know that's BS. That's just posturing to make it look like they give a damn about that sort of thing. But there's more on this story. We can share that with you coming up here. But Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
That's the Confederate Commonwealth, Pennsylvania there, Brother Ian.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I just had to see how that sounded just once, you know? But yeah, I am from the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Good evening, Sister Bonnie.
Hello.
What's on your mind tonight, Ricky?
Well, Sunday night, this kind of blows my mind. A caller called in, Gigi from South Carolina, you know? And this is an amazing one for me. Now, she did make the comment, came out of kind of nowhere with it, you know, and says, you know, they had a law 200 years ago that you could not educate slaves. Now, here's what's really interesting about this whole thing. I happened to be watching the news on Saturday, and there was an anchor on. It was about midday, and some woman, I didn't catch her name. I had it on after that. It was a young woman. And she made the comment out of nowhere, because she was talking about this education crap and stuff, that 150 years ago, there was a law that you could not educate slaves. Well, that doesn't work. I think she meant 160 years ago. That sounds more like it, you know?
Okay, 150.
I mean, I'm sure she was just generalizing. It's probably just
doesn't matter.
Well, and then you got this one says 200. But here's what it comes down to. I believe Gigi and I were watching the same station. And what's really interesting about this is, going to that, President Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederate States of America, one of the things he offered within his term was for free to any slave who wanted it, training to learn trades. Now, I think that's really impressive and important. Because think about it. When the South did, it was very different than a lot of people. They were looking at production. An economy, you know, and the fact of the matter is an educated slave that knows a trade is going to work better. And the fact of it on top of that is they had usually contracts, you know, like a 7-year contract was standard. And you know what? If you got a trade, sure. If you want to leave after your contract, you can go have a different master or something
okay,
like
hold
that.
On. Are you talking about involuntary servitude as in slavery, or are you talking about people who are, what was the term for the people who are like locked in for, you know, a certain number of years?
And they did it voluntarily.
Yeah, and they did it voluntarily.
Yeah, I don't remember the word.
Yeah, but
Indentured servitude. What are you talking about here?
Yeah,
those are two different things.
We're not talking about life slavery, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
Like you sign it for life. That's what I think you're talking about.
Well, you don't sign. Really you don't sign up for life. You don't. If you're a slave, you didn't sign into it. You're forced into it.
Well, you agree. Well, not everybody, and you know.
Maybe there were some slaves that agreed to become slaves for some reason. Like, oh, if you're going to.
A lot of people did, because that was the only thing you could do. There's very few choices for work. You could either be a slave, you could join, you know, the military. There's no money in that. Or you could go into the government. Good luck with that. So there was a lot of slaves on both sides. But what it comes down to is she made this comment, said exactly like the woman did, except for the year. And, you know, it's like you should really look into it, you know. And you know what? Even if there would have been a law in the North, which I never heard of, that wouldn't mean a damn thing when it came to Confederacy, you know. I mean, educating a slave makes perfect sense, you know. Cause a slave
well, no, it doesn't make sense from the perspective of a slave master who wants to keep their slaves ignorant. You're just saying you only want them to be educated, and I don't know why we're talking about this. This is a 150-year-old issue, but you're just saying you think that they should be educated on a skill, not that they should learn how to read or write.
Well, that read or write wasn't offered, but I think they could have. I mean, that maybe would have been offered later. There wasn't time.
I don't know why you're talking about this, Ricky.
He's just like guessing. He
doesn't know. It's 150 years ago, and yeah, you're completely speculating here. I mean, look, the masters at the time, thank you for the call tonight, the masters at the time, they didn't want their slaves to know how to read things, or they might possibly read about how they're slaves. They might begin to understand those things in a much more fast demeanor than they otherwise might.
And some people choosing to become a slave because it was their best option
is ridiculous. Really
sad if it is true and doesn't make it okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that
happened. Well, he agreed to become my slave. Okay, that doesn't
yeah,
make
normally
you
the
moral.
Only time you would agree to become someone's slave is if they had, like, a gun to your children's head.
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say earlier. You interrupted me. I was like, maybe if the choice was between becoming a slave and, like, they kill your kids or something, and then you're like, no, just take me. But
right.
Even if, assuming Ricky is 100% right, and there were people who were like, I can't get a job, so I might as well become a slave, because at least they'll feed me, I just don't think that makes it legal. I mean, not legal, I meant to say moral.
Well, yeah, it would have been legal.
I meant to say moral.
Yeah, there's plenty of things that are legal that are immoral, like the NSA and the things we are talking about from today. Let's go to your calls. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
This is Jack from Ocean Shores.
Jack, you're on the air.
How you guys doing?
What's on your mind, dude?
I actually enjoyed your conversation, right? What was the last caller talking about?
It's not worth talking about.
Okay. Have you guys watched any of the cooking shows at all on TV? Do you think they're getting a little repetitive?
I don't have cooking, I don't have television, number one. So
I used to watch them. Like baking competitions on Netflix, and sometimes if you weren't really in the mood for it and you just put it on, yeah, it's like you could just like blink and not care that you're missing the same thing over and over. But sometimes it is fun because you get to like, ooh, I never thought about making a cake with those flavors mixed together, or you know, you see them overcome the challenges or whatever. But I really like baking. I never watch cooking shows. Like, I really like cooking too, but for some reason it's just not as fun.
Are you talking about these competitive shows that Bonnie's referring to, or are you talking about, like, the old shows back in the day where there's just, like, one chef in the kitchen showing you how to make things?
Oh, yeah.
So, do you guys have the internet, like the Google and the Apples?
Yeah, we have the internet, dude. That's how we're transmitting the show.
I'm sorry, man. Have you, like, ever had, like, the surveys and stuff, like, on there? Like, not
surveys?
The terms or anything, just, like, do you like this, that kind of stuff?
No, I don't spend time doing surveys.
Anyway, I just kind of feel like, too repetitive.
Okay. Well, thanks for the feedback, man. Appreciate it. That was a pretty lame call. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I mean, if you are running out of things to do on the internet, you should grab a damn book rather than, you know, filling out surveys.
Whenever I'm
or whatever
bored of my usual forms of entertainment, it's like you can never get on YouTube and not find something interesting. YouTube has, I mean, or Odyssey, has never-ending entertainment, and I could just watch videos on silly topics I look up. Like, yesterday, I literally just went into Odyssey and typed in Orgone Energy, because it was something I wanted to know more about, and found an awesome Odysseyer that I have never seen before, and he was just talking about Orgone Energy for, like, 23 minutes.
Cool. And was it interesting?
It was really interesting. He knew stuff about it that I had never heard. I just didn't feel like sitting there reading about it. I wanted to be entertained and also learning.
So back to the story here where the Supreme Court has rejected any kind of challenge to the NSA because of the so-called state secrets provisions. The Supreme Court agreed that some things are too sensitive to reveal in legal proceedings, and gave officialdom a free pass to invoke the phrase national security as a shield against accountability. And that disturbs even some of the modern members of the Supreme Court. While not entirely
modern,
the ones that are currently there. He was referring to how it goes all the way back to 1948.
Oh.
While not entirely questioning the existence, this is, by the way, from Reason.com, of the state secrets privilege, it is, quote, no blunderbuss and courts may not flee from the field at its mere display, unquote. This according to Neil Gorsuch, who's one of the current justices, in a dissent joined by Sotomayor to the majority's invocation of the privilege in a case called United States versus Zubaida. They said recent history reveals that executive officials can sometimes be tempted to misuse claims of national security to shroud major abuses and even ordinary negligence from public view. So, yeah, anything they don't want you to know about, they just say, well, it's...
Was there a but in that sentence, or were they just like, yeah, they'll do that?
Well, these are dissenters, so not everybody on the court agrees. Of course, that's typical with courts. They rarely agree unanimously. That case involved detention and torture at a black site in Poland under circumstances the government clearly found embarrassing. The Wikimedia lawsuit involves...
It's so embarrassing that we tortured people.
Well, right. And the only way that this stuff gets out is when you have people who are willing to put their careers and their freedom on the line, like Edward Snowden or whoever it was that revealed this particular case, like Seymour Hersh, the reporter who just revealed that the U.S. government was behind the Nord Stream pipeline explosion. He has a source inside the government. Now, Hersh is protecting his source, so we don't know who that person is. But you better believe the U.S. government is looking actively to find out who that person is, because they are telling the truth about what the government actually did. Which
maybe
is,
the source was just Joe Biden 6 months prior when he was like, we will blow up the pipeline.
No, they actually had some pretty insider information. It was a really detailed report. But it's because of those people that we're able to find out the little bit that we're able to hear about, the little bit of evidence that has come out. I mean, because what Snowden revealed certainly seemed, and it was significant, but it's only scratching the surface of what these people are doing all around the planet. Again, we're talking about a case here, Zabiada, which involved a black site in Poland and detention and torture. Of course, we know about...
So the United States was torturing people in Poland?
Yeah, it was probably one of those rendition situations, which we learned about, you know, 15 years ago, where the U.S. government will take somebody they want tortured, but because it's illegal for the U.S. government to do the torturing, they'll hand them off to some other government, and then the other government can do the torturing on behalf of the U.S. government, and it's completely legal.
Oh,
yeah.
That's moral.
Unfortunately, the Supreme Court decision leaves little recourse for determining the extent of domestic surveillance by the NSA and seeking its termination. The spy agency says it cut back after, quote, inadvertent compliance incidents related to queries involving U.S. person information, whatever that means. But that leaves the public taking the NSA at its word and wondering just what is going on behind the scenes. Edward Snowden revealed just how far we should trust the intelligence apparatus. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702, which authorizes the upstream surveillance at issue in the Wikimedia case, is up for reauthorization this year, and the NSA would very much like to retain its broad power. It faces calls for reform from civil libertarians outside of government, but also from Republicans and Democrats concerned about intrusive spying on Americans. Quote, while surveilling foreign targets under the FISA Act, the government collects exabytes of data. I don't even know how many bytes is an exabyte. That's bigger than anything I've heard of.
I've never heard that word.
You know, you've heard of gigabytes or terabytes.
Terabytes are supposed to be huge. And exabytes
is somewhere bigger than that. According to Thomas Massey, of course, he's one of the few objecting to this. Quote, the Constitution requires a warrant to query that vast database for Americans and warrantless spying now, he said. Similarly, Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, has long called for the intelligence community to reveal how many Americans it sweeps up and for curbs on such snooping. With litigation against domestic spying thwarted by the invocation of state secrets privilege, Congress, for all its many faults, may be the last line of defense. Well, that's very optimistic on the part of J.D. Tusile over at Reason, but anyone who has been paying attention, and he certainly should have been, I suspect he has been, would know that there is no hope for this. I mean, I'm not looking to be...
Well, most of these people
here
at Reason, like, live in D.C. and kind of want to make friends with D.C. people.
That's true, yeah. They're D.C., what do they call them, Beltway Libertarians,
yeah.
I think.
I don't know this particular guy.
No, I don't know him either. But the idea that Congress is going to do anything to somehow collar the NSA or any other federal law enforcement agency is pure fantasy. And there's no voting that's going to change this. You can't elect 400 Thomas Masseys or whatever.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, it's like these people from Kentucky, I think, voted in Thomas Massey and it didn't do anything for him. Yeah, he put in a bill to abolish the education, the Federal Department of Education.
Did he?
He did, and it just got tabled.
Yeah,
it
must have been killed in committee or something, right?
Yeah, he's killed.
Yeah, so good for him. I mean, he says good things, and, you know, he tries to do things, but he's up against a behemoth, like Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul was Dr. No. He was the only one that voted no on things in Congress for a very, very long time.
Dr. No.
And he didn't get anywhere. I mean, it wasn't bad to have him there in that he could say things and get attention for the things that he was trying to promote and promote the ideas of liberty from the position that he was in. So I'm not saying it's bad that Thomas Massie is there. I'm glad that he's there. He says interesting things. His opinions are worth listening to on a lot of different issues. But the people in Congress aren't listening to these people.
It's going to be hard to find, like, that, I don't know how many more, 400 or whatever more people who...
There's 535 members of Congress, right?
All right, 535 more people who aren't having affairs or, yeah, you know, kid diddlers or whatever.
Yeah.
Can I say that on the radio?
You just did. And so the NSA knows things like that. They are aware of those things. The CIA certainly knows those things. So there's just no chance that this is ever going to change from the congressional direction. And now we know for a fact that the Supreme Court's not willing to look at it. We know the courts have determined that these agencies are protected by so-called state secrets. So why does anyone out there give any kind of legitimacy to this organization? They are not able to be held accountable.
The NSA or the federal government?
All of them.
Yep.
The federal government. The NSA is just the latest organization that's making the claim to state secrets. They by no means were the first ones. I don't think they even existed. Did they even exist in 1948? It's not clear what the case was here with the U.S. versus Reynolds, which was the 1948 plane crash that killed civilian observers, and the government argued that the information about the plane was too secret to be revealed in court. So that's all. Any government agency can make this claim. The EPA could make the claim about, you know, an environmental cleanup. The FBI could make the claim about a variety of different criminal investigations or whatever. And so,
and the Supreme Court will obviously uphold it. So it's not like you can be like, they can't make this claim. Well, they just upheld it for NSA.
Right. And there's a long history of them upholding this.
We'll take it to court. And the Supreme Court will rule against you.
Right. And it's not that the court, you know, is, again, if you're in court, it's supposed to be a public proceeding. The information is supposed to be available to anyone that wants to go and look at it. It should not be being done behind closed doors where they're showing documents to a judge and saying, this could put our agents in jeopardy, judge. And then the judge comes out and says, well, we just can't have this case. Case dismissed. People deserve to know what's going on when they are forced to pay for this system. And you shouldn't be forced to pay for a system that you don't know anything about. And they can just withhold whatever it is convenient for them.
That's a good point.
So who is there anyone out there knowing this that can continue to defend the existence of the federal government?
It's not even like we can know that these secrets don't actually harm us. Like, you can't even get any reassurances about these secrets. They're just not going to be ever brought to light.
The only way it could be brought to light is with a whistleblower, with somebody who's willing to put their career and their freedom on the line. And we saw what happened.
They weed those people out pretty good before hiring them to be in the federal government.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you are on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Pretty well.
Yes, it's Dana.
Dana, you're on the air.
Up there in Maine.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, I listen to you guys quite frequently. I get your LRN network through another feed, and I listen to you guys quite a bit. And I noticed that you were talking about the Republican Party earlier, and I was wondering why. It really puzzles me. And it seems to me that many people who call themselves libertarian support the stinking Republican Party.
Well, I don't.
I wasn't saying anything supportive about them.
No, I know you guys.
Right,
but I'm just saying that it just in general, that some people on your network, I frequently hear them, supposed libertarians, parroting the Republican line, you know, about how the election was stolen, about how Republicans support freedom more than the Democrats do.
I would have to agree that it's annoying to me as well that lots of libertarians just seem to think, oh, the Republicans are more on our side. I would say we're equally in agreement with some things with the Democrats that the Republicans are complete enemies with us about, as we are in agreement with some things on the things that the Republicans side with us on. But ultimately, both of them would have us be put in jail or, you know, murdered or whatever if we didn't pay the taxes they want, or if we didn't, you know, do the other things they want.
Yeah, I agree. I just, I was listening, I think it was I think, and I like Ernie Hancock, but he's got a couple of guys on there that come on and just basically he's got one guy on there that talks about Donald Trump like he's some kind of a savior, a god or something. I mean, he's a stinking puppet, just like the rest of them.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's true. And I share your frustration because this is one of the reasons why I left the Libertarian Party back in 2008. Now, I subsequently rejoined it last year because they started to shift their messaging and they've gotten more principled and they've started promoting the Free State Project. But one of the things that really frustrated me was they kept electing these Republicans. These washed-up Republicans would go and run for president under the Libertarian banner, and the Libertarian Party kept on nominating them. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? These people aren't actual Libertarians.
That's why I left the Libertarian Party in 2008 when they put in Bob Barr.
Yeah, it was right before Bob Barr. That's when I resigned.
I hate that lots of Libertarians, even not the ones like with any say in the party, but just like people on the street that are Libertarians, I really hate that they think that, oh, we just have more in common with Republicans. Like, speak for yourself. I don't have anything in common with Republicans. I mean, even the things that they say they believe in, they don't get any of it done. They don't make the government smaller.
Exactly. I was talking, one the other day was talking about gun rights. You know, this Republican was, and you know, I'll agree that certainly some Republicans anyway, although up here in Maine it's pretty close, but they do tend to favor gun rights or see them in more of a way than like I do. But the agitation for gun rights that the Democrats, a lot of it comes from the stinking war on drugs and the violence associated with that. So the Republicans give us the stinking war on drugs, violence ensues, and the Democrats' answer is to ban guns.
Yeah, well, to be fair, both the Republicans and the Democrats are in favor of the war on drugs, from what I've seen. I don't know if you have more to say, but if you do, you can hang on. We can continue here in moments. The second hour of Free Talk Live is on the way here tonight. And coming up, some news about COVID, some revelations there as well. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.